And greetings, friends around the world. I have big news for you. The Creator of the heavens and the earth is beginning to intervene in human affairs. Specific prophecies are now starting to be fulfilled. You'll begin to read them in your headlines. This is not just religious fluff, for it's going to change our entire society, and everything around you will change. The real Jesus Christ of your Bible will soon return to this earth. I'm going to show you why, how, and when. Stay tuned. My friends, are you ready for the dramatic changes which will soon occur in world affairs? Your Creator is about to intervene. Jesus Christ, the Christ of the Bible, gave a specific order of events leading up to His second coming. Notice what your Bible clearly says. Go get your Bible if you have one handy. Check up on me. This is exciting stuff. It's going to affect your life. It really is. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your own Bible. This is history written in advance by the Son of God. Notice Matthew chapter 24, and let's begin reading here in verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of this age?" Not the end of the earth, it's not going to blow up, but the end of this human society, the end of everything around us as we have known it. Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." That's the first thing He warned. Watch out for false prophets. But notice what Jesus said. He didn't say there'd be some oddball out here in the forest or in a cave or on top of a hill. He said, "For many will come in My name, saying, 'I am the Christ.'" They will tell you that Jesus is the Christ. In other words, they will be teaching Christianity. They will be talking about Jesus. And they'll be telling you that Jesus is the Messiah, love Jesus, all this kind of thing. He said, "They will come in My name, saying, 'I, Jesus, am the Christ,' and they will deceive," not a few, "they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." World war was going to take place. The era of world war started in 1914. And of course, that seems a long way back to many of you, but it's not that long in God's scheme of things, because 1,000 years is a day with God, and a day is 1,000 years. So now we have world wars 1 and 2, and we're waiting for world war 3. And I think most of you realize that. Then there will be famines. Of course, famines are going to come at the end of the age. And when you understand the entire Bible and so many prophecies we've given you, famine is going to hit this land. That's shocking, but yes, the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, these nations are going to suffer famine. The famines will not always be off in Bangladesh or India or Africa or somewhere. They're going to be right here. They will affect your life. Famines and disease epidemics. Pestilence means disease epidemics. And now we're having man-made disease epidemics because of the terrorists. But other disease epidemics will no doubt come on stream also. Disease epidemics and earthquakes in various places. There have always been earthquakes, my friends. So Jesus must be indicating massive earthquakes. And certainly other scriptures indicate that is what is going to happen. God is going to shake this earth as it has not been shaken before, and shake this nation. And shake many of you if you will not listen to the words of God. You've got to be willing to listen. See what God says. Get in line with your Creator. God loves you. God is concerned for us, but He wants us to get our lives straightened out. Earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for My name's sake. Then Jesus goes on and shows, of course, that there are going to be a whole wave of other false prophets. The gospel will be preached. And notice down in verse 20, He said, "Pray that your flight be not in the winter." He's talking to His true disciples here. They were to flee, not be taken off in some rapture, but they had to flee a flight. And the flight would involve somewhere on this earth that they were taken up to heaven. They would need to pray that the flight be not in the winter. Heaven is not having winter, and it would not be a problem with the Sabbath. He said, "Pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation. Yes, a great tribulation is coming, and these order of events are going to begin to occur. Famine, disease epidemics, earthquakes, a whole waves of false prophets coming along. And then, of course, you're going to have a flight of God's people to safety. And then the next thing that will happen, great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. The greatest tribulation in human history, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. Every human would be annihilated. Cosmicide, the complete destruction of all human life would occur unless God intervenes. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. My friends, do you remember August the 6th, 1945, and little boy, the first atomic bomb? That bomb destroyed tens of thousands of lives directly, and untold thousands were severely injured or scarred for life. Every weapon that has ever been invented has eventually been used. Think, China, North Korea, India, Pakistan, as well as the United States and Russia and other nations perhaps by now, all have atomic bombs and the capacity for biochemical and biological warfare, setting off terrible disease epidemics and all sorts of things of that sort. Many of these nations resent the total dominance which the United States has had for years. As you know, most of the Muslim world is upset at us. American flags are being burned, and American embassies are being attacked all over the world. Almighty God has powerfully blessed the United States and the British descended peoples. We've explained that to you many times. He's given us the birthright promise, a promise given to Abraham, not because we're so good, but because of God's purpose. But now, my friends, because of our mounting sins, God is beginning to intervene and chasten our peoples. Remember, we just read here in Matthew 24 and in verse 21 that this time of the tribulation will be the greatest time of trouble since the beginning of the world, no, nor ever shall be. Notice in God's inspired word another reference to this greatest time of trouble. There can't be two greatest times of trouble. There's only one, and this is talking about it. God's word does not contradict itself, as Jesus said in John 10:35. The scripture cannot be broken. Jeremiah 30, and let me give you the time setting. Jeremiah, as all scholars acknowledge, was written during the destruction of ancient Judah. But ancient Israel, the house of Israel, had already gone into captivity about 120 years earlier. 120 years earlier. And yet throughout this book, in the book of Ezekiel, the same way, God describes a coming great national tribulation, another great punishment, another great slavery, coming on the house of Israel, and at the time of the end, the house of Judah, right with them, right at the same time. Notice now, Jeremiah 30, verse 4. Now these are the words the Eternal spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Eternal, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale, men absolutely scared to death in our nations, and the modern descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, scared to death. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. No other time of trouble like that. This is the great tribulation. This is what he's definitely talking about, and it comes on the end-time descendants of the British descended and American peoples who are frankly here in the United States, Canada, Britain, and so forth. The descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, as we've explained so many times. So that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. We are going to have that tribulation specifically strike us more than any other peoples. But he shall be saved out of it. But boy, does he get into it first, my friends. For it shall come to pass in that day that I will break his yoke from our necks, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Eternal their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Notice the time setting. of this great time of Jacob's trouble, this tribulation. It occurs just before Christ's second coming and the time of the resurrection, the time that ancient King David is resurrected and restored to his throne over all 12 tribes. And this book was written about 604 to 585 B.C., and King David had died about 400 years before that. So he's talking about the time of the end, the time of the resurrection. But why is God going to punish our people before he brings us back? Why is he going to bring us into slavery and humble us so terribly? Turn to verse 14, Jeremiah 30, verse 14. All your lovers, and throughout the Old Testament, God uses the term lovers to describe allies, for Israel would get pagan nations as allies rather than trusting in God. And we've been doing that too. He says, all your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you, for I have wounded you with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. There it is, because of our horrifying sins. That's why God's going to bring this on us. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable because of the multitude of your iniquities, because your sins have increased. I have done these things to you. He says in advance, as though it's already done, which God does constantly in prophecy. This is as sure as the rising and setting of the sun. Picture the untold thousands of young people in the United States, Canada, and Britain being arrested every month for using illicit drugs. Think about how these drugs literally blow their minds and often cause permanent brain damage. Think of the crime, the violence, the rape, the robbery, the murders that occur because of that. And now the authorities tell us, my friends, that many millions more Americans are now entering the 15 to 25-year-old age group called the danger zone, when the young men's testosterone is working and they get into this kind of thing. Our crime rate is going up, not down. What kind of lives are these young people going to lead in a nation that is cut off from God? A nation, of course, which carries on in the way we do with pornography and filth and violence and all the kinds of things we're into as a nation. Yet we're supposed to be a Christian nation, right? But our youth have not been taught the kind of Christianity that obeys the Ten Commandments, the basic way of life God describes and wants for his people. Rather, our society has forsaken the standards of conduct. We have forsaken God, and we go around talking and seeking for values, and we want guidelines, and we want standards, but we are not willing to follow what God clearly commands, his standards in the pages of your Bible. As a result, people resent being told about a real God who demands obedience. Human nature doesn't want that kind of a God. They resent the true God of the Bible. Yes, they do. Look around you. See what's happening. Notice how the Apostle Paul was inspired to write this for us in advance back in Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded, Paul wrote, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Yes, the carnal mind resents God's law. It will not obey. It argues around, says, well, the law was done away. The law was nailed to the cross. The Apostle Paul did away with it. We don't need to keep it. It's out of date. Blah, blah, blah. No, God says you're to keep the Ten Commandments as a way of life. Revelation 14 and verse 12. This is the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. That's the way of God mentioned all the way through the Bible. Jesus said, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. Is that done away? Nothing in the Bible says it's done away. Lots of churches try to say it's done away, but God does not say it's done away. A way of life based on the Ten Commandments of God. That is the way people will be learning in tomorrow's world. Notice Hebrews 12, verse 5. He says, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. He will chasten us. He will do everything he can, if need be, to wake us up for our good because he loves us. And he does that to every nation he loves as well. and our nations are beloved of God, but they're going to have to be chastened in love by God to help them wake up before it is too late. Now back to our topic. Christ is coming soon. Notice again, my friends, Hebrews 12 and verse 6. God tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." God is love. And in genuine love, concern, and wisdom, the Creator is soon going to shake the British, descended, and American peoples as they have never been shaken before, for our good, to help us wake up. Our nations are filled with adultery. We're filled with pornography, perversions of every sort, and increasing violence and murder, and every other kind of foul thing seems to be increasing in our society. Many other nations around the world are frankly turned off and many times disgusted with the pornography and the filth we're exporting to them through our so-called entertainment media. God will soon judge our peoples because of all this and much more. Turn to 2 Timothy. Here God talks about what's going to happen and what is beginning to happen very much in our society. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good." They really don't want God's way. They resent the Ten Commandments being put in the courthouse. They resent the Ten Commandments being put in our state capitals, as you know, forcing them to take these things out and down. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. When you see drought in our nations, when you see famine, people beginning to need food, which has virtually never occurred in the United States and Canada, when you see alternating fires and floods increasing all over, when you see rising disease epidemics just raging right here in the United States, Canada, Britain, Australia, when you see increasing earthquakes, when you see increasing terrors and terrorist activities, and God uses the term terrors in the Olivet Prophecy in Luke 21, and that it can include these terrorist activities. People are being scared, unsure what's going to happen next. When you see a European empire getting together and getting upset at America, when you see a powerful false church in Europe asserting more and more authority to itself and finally being headed by a miracle-working and charismatic leader, when you see these things and others like it, be assured that Christ is coming very soon. These things are beginning to happen. Remember the last things Jesus Christ said to watch for, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." That's one of the main things he said to pray for and to watch for. Then he said, verse 15, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place." In ancient times, under Antiochus Epiphanes, about 300 years before Christ, there was a man who rose up by that name, and he put right in God's temple a statue of Zeus or Jupiter Olympus. They differ as to which pagan god was put there, but it was a terrible thing, and he made them sacrifice swine's flesh right in God's temple. And, of course, something like that is going to happen again. That was a definite precursor. There's going to be some kind of temple, some kind of altar, perhaps, put up on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And this kind of thing is something to watch for when you see that. And then this pagan idol, this pagan practice, whatever it is going to be put right there. That is one of the final things to happen just before the Great Tribulation, as we've told you so many times. Mr. Richard Ames and I, watch Jerusalem, watch the Middle East, watch these things that are beginning to occur. Watch for the abomination of desolation, a literal idol, a literal temple or altar, something of that sort will be put up right there in Jerusalem. And that's going to happen in your lifetimes. Interesting to watch the world news. Interesting to watch your newspapers. These things will happen. Then verse 20, "Pray that your flight that may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath, for then will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. We must wake up. We must think about the reality of God. God's not some pie in the sky. He's not just the idea or the essence of good, something that's sort of intangible. He is a real spirit personality getting ready to intervene and bring His Son Jesus back to this earth to teach human beings made in His image the way of God. Let you and I be pioneers. Let's get right with God before the kingdom comes so we can be there. My friends, your world and the friends and familiar things all around you are going to begin to change over the next several years. We love the United States. We love Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Britain, and the other peoples of the British Empire, the English-speaking world. And we love all nations, of course. God loves us. But God has given us awesome blessings. We've been the great nations with great national blessings. But unless there is a national, heartfelt repentance of profound proportions, we are going down. We have got to come to a type of repentance that our peoples have never experienced before, my friends. After Jesus described all the events we've just discussed, the coming false prophets and drought, famine, disease epidemics, earthquakes, He said this. Turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. I heard a famous evangelist years ago, one of the most famous evangelists on earth, say, Christ may come tonight, my friends. But he said, well, on the other hand, this may be the beginning of that great human drama that will last yet another 1,000 years before Christ comes. I thought, wow, this guy's kind of vague, isn't he? Might be tonight or 1,000 years. No, no. There are definite things that are going to occur, and they're beginning to occur now. And we in this work do understand, and God help you to understand. You can if you want to. He said, when these things begin to happen, you know it's near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Yes, this generation, your generation. At the same time, Jesus also said in Luke 21, if you'd like to turn there with me, Luke chapter 21 and beginning in verse 31. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. But, he says, it'll come like a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch and pray. Learn to really pray and cry out to God for understanding and be willing to act on that understanding. Act on God's precious truth. God help you to watch and pray.